Next item, can somebody, see if Mr. Bannister's out in the hallway. He's been here all day long. Carlisle Bannister, nice gentleman, dark haired, got a sweater on. Has he come back in, or I didn't think I missed him. He's been here all day long for this matter, unless he left.
We have been working on this issue for quite a number of months. We've had a number of meetings with representatives of the Virginia Charter Boat Association trying to make sure we have all of the provisions where we think they need to be, and yet we met with the FinFish Advisory Committee last night. It's a well-attended meeting. There were a lot of good comments and suggestions, so I've actually tweaked this a little bit just since last night to add a few things to it.
Bob, are you here representing the charter boat?
No, sir. Mr.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see him. Okay, thank you.
Several months ago, the Charter Boat Association informed the commissioner and others in writing that there were a number of issues that were of great concern to their membership and others. And we've talked to you about these before, but certainly top on the list is the lack of access by our charter boat fleet, or most of our charter boat fleet, to Maryland fishing grounds. There is, because of some certain licensing provisions in Maryland, there's a lack of equity and fairness in the reciprocal agreements. There appears to be some increased pressure on Virginia's striped bass resource as a result of increased numbers in the charter boat fishery, particularly in the ocean fishery. And there is, from time to time, widespread noncompliance with the federal law that prohibits the taking of striped bass beyond 3 miles. And solutions are proposed to control all of these, or to address all of these issues. If you look at the Maryland charter boat fishery, it's a closed access fishery. It requires two licenses, a charter boat license and a fishing guide license. We have 47 boats that now are either grandfathered in or got in on a provisional basis. And yet, according to the Virginia Association, there are probably as many as another 100 or more boats that would like to get access to Maryland waters but cannot now. There are a number of Marylanders, obviously, that have guide licenses, and there's a long waiting list in Maryland that rarely moves at all. And when our guys saw that long waiting list, they quickly came to a conclusion that there's no hope that there will ever be open access for them to Maryland waters. Maryland has a nice long striped bass season earlier in the year. Ours is later in the year. Our guys can't get access to that fishery, but the Marylanders can come down and enjoy our fishery. Again, Virginia's wide open to any charter boat from any state. And if you're a Marylander, you don't even have to buy our license down here. You buy your Maryland license, and under the reciprocity agreement, it's good down here. So we don't get a dime in license fees from the Maryland boats to come down and enjoy our fishing. This just gives you some numbers. This is, of course, the most recent full year for which we have numbers. On the left are the charter boat licenses that are sold. On the right is the striped bass permit that's required of charter boats under the striped bass regulations. A free permit available to anybody who wants it. And we can't guarantee that all those permits are used. Sometimes people, you know, just get them because they're free and may not even show up. But you can see the number of out-of-state kind of jump up there. That's part of the concern. More specific to striped bass. So this is really a three-prong issue. It's lack of access to Maryland, concern about striped bass, concern about enforcement. We're trying to cure all three of those problems, not just one of them. But we all know that in the winter, virtually the entire spawning stock for the Atlantic Coast striped bass are off Virginia Beach, or in a colder winter, just across the North Carolina line. And that has become an attractive fishery in recent years. And it's resulted in a very significant increase in the number of Marylanders that come down. In fact, in speaking to Tom O'Connell once again today.
You can give him a coronary, Jack.
Yeah, he gave me some numbers. If I can find them, they estimate there are 57 Maryland vessels that participate in the ocean striped bass fishery in the winter, and approximately another 50 that participate in other fisheries in Virginia's mid portion of the bay. How is the enforcement issue addressed? Once we create a license, like a guide license, we have something to revoke if we catch people violating the law. Right now, if a Marylander comes down here and violates our law, we don't have a Virginia license that we can revoke to get his attention. By creating the guide license, we think we add another tool in the toolbox, if you will, to address the enforcement issue. More to the striped bass issue. In recent years, we have seen an increase in the fishing mortality rates on the older striped bass, the ones that you tend to encounter in the ocean fishery. Now, these are still safe levels. They're within the targets. So we're not, you know, the stock's not in danger of collapse or anything, but what is of concern is that this number continues to rise. And of course, the last year is always debatable. It will change, but it's the trend that we're concerned about. And part of it is this increase in the charter boats that are coming down here. The solution that's being offered is to establish a fishing guide license, to limit its sale, and ultimately to charge higher fees to non-residents that are justified. Of course, the latter requires legislation, so we can't deal with that here today. There's the law, the current law in Virginia. It gives you the authority to establish the guide license, and it allows you to limit the sale when you deem it necessary for effective fishery management. It does say that it does say that it can be required of every charter boat and head boat, that the application or the applicant has to be a U.S. Coast Guard licensee. The fee can be up to $100, and we're recommending $100. And it also has a provision in there that said that if you establish the guide license, whatever its fee is, you can reduce the fee on the charter boat license, so the net effect is no net increase in fees paid by the applicant. Now, in terms of limited entry, the concept here was to, as much as possible, try to include in the fishery any Virginian who's now in it. We really don't want to kick anybody out within certain limits. And so, and you already have a control date on this fishery, June 24, 08. So number one, if you had a charter boat license this year before the control date, you're going to be eligible to get a guide license. If you had a license in 06 and in 07, you're going to be able to get a guide license. If you don't qualify under either of those two, but you can document that you operated a charter boat in Virginia, a Virginia licensed charter boat in Virginia, from January 1, 06 to June 24, 08, you're going to qualify for a guide license. Now, the key here is, what do we mean by the word document? And we go further there. And what we're proposing as acceptable documentation is, first, proof that you served as the captain for 30 days during this specified period, and you either can show us a certificate of insurance that lists you as the operator of a Virginia charter boat, or you can show us income statements, so either a W-2 or a 1099 that shows you had income as a charter boat captain. Now, we can tell you how many people qualify under A and B. I'm sorry, previous one. Well, I lost it now. But anyway, here it is. We can tell you how many people meet one and two. We can't estimate how many people might come forward with this documentation. And these are the counts for one and two. This is where we think we would end up, plus or minus some number who can document under count three. One other option we looked at was extending this 06 and 07 to 2 out of 3 years, 05 to 07. And it does change the number slightly. Let me go back so you can see. Looks like it increases the Virginia number.
31.
Okay. So we would then cap the sale of the fishing guide license to the number of people who qualify under those provisions. We would propose that we actually have separate licenses for a resident fishing guide and a non-resident, although right now we can't charge different fees. We would allow transfers, much like we allow transfers of striped bass quota or black sea bass quota. We would allow that license to be transferred, but only between resident and resident and non-resident to non-resident to maintain sort of the levels that we have at this point in time. And based on discussions last night with the FMAC, we came up with these additional clarifications. We would require that the guide license be purchased annually to maintain your eligibility. Otherwise, we don't know whether you've dropped out or not. We would allow for temporary and permanent transfers of the guide license. We don't want to allow the use of agents. We suggest that that should be prohibited. We've run into, you know, the problems we've run into with use of agents in the crab fishery. We don't want to start something like that new in this fishery. When a person drops out, fails to maintain their eligibility, we would suggest, in most cases, when a person drops out, it's because he will have transferred the license, sold it to someone else. But there will be a rare case where somebody just goes away and doesn't do that, and we propose then that there be a waiting list established that we would pluck first come, first serve off of to fill in that license. And I think that is it, unless you have questions. I know that was a long presentation, but it's...
Mr. Schick?
Is there any provisions for people who have been preparing to get into this industry that can't fit into those criteria? Or are they out of luck?
They're sort of out of luck, and unless you change the criteria. And it sort of goes back to the control date. You made a decision in June that people who enter after that date don't get in. I mean, that's what the control date does.
Well, you could still allow the control date to affect out-of-residence people and allow Virginia residents to continue to buy guide licenses.
I don't think you can do that. I think the rules you set up, and Carl can speak to this better than I, the rules you set up have to apply equally to residents and non-residents. Otherwise, you get into some discrimination issues, I guess.
I just see that what we're doing is we're keeping status quo for those who are in the industry, and those that aren't, tough luck. And, you know, this world is like that too much as it is.
It goes back to the striped bass ITQ. I use that as an example. I mean, we made a decision years ago that these 500 people were going to be in the fishery, and if you came along after that, the only way you were going to get in is to buy your way in. Now, you have options available to you. You could choose not to use that control date and set another date. You could add a fourth criteria that somehow captures some people that you want to capture. But I think it has to apply equally to residents and non-residents when you do that. Let me give you an example. We know of an individual who, prior to the control date, established a contract and put a down payment on a $80,000 boat that he intended to use as a charter boat. The boat was not finished until September, and at that point, he bought his first charter boat license. he missed the control date. He's out. Just as an example, the commission could establish some other kind of criteria that says if you have entered into some kind of contract and can show proof of such before the control date, you're in.
And that applies to whether you're from Ethiopia or from Virginia.
We have other cases of individuals who came to last night's meeting who sort of started negotiations on the purchase of a charter boat, but have not completed those agreements yet, haven't purchased the vessel, but they're going to be shut out of the fishery based on what you've seen here.
Well, I'd like to add something to the criteria that anybody in the year 2008 that has can show financial commitment to getting into the charter boat industry should also be allowed to do so. And that, I guess, will have to be
any,
on a,
any time in 2008 or through October 28th.
Well, some people might be in negotiations and doesn't have they don't have the financial commitment yet. 100%. So I think that they have to be able to show that they've been in negotiations, not necessarily money down, you know, as of today. And that would go so far as, you know, a letter from somebody saying that, you know, that they've been in negotiations since, you know, June or July. I just don't see that the pressure from charter boat industry as a whole in the Chesapeake Bay is an issue. You know, there's a lot of people that like to get into guide work, you know, in the tributaries, small boats. Not everybody's, you know, wants these big boats that go out and fish, you know, the fish in the ocean where the pressure is.
Are you saying then basically we don't need a control date at all? So that then it opens it up to...
No, I think I definitely don't like the idea of shutting Virginia residents out of this industry. But if we have to protect the industry, I think anybody that can show that they've been in negotiations in the year 2008 should be able to come into the fishery.
Well, let me just say this. We do know of two circumstances where that is the case. Okay. I'm a little concerned about extending it beyond today's date for those that may be opportunistic that would, we know that there are a couple out there that genuinely have issues. I worry then that those individuals beyond today's date may become creative in their quest to subvert what we're trying to do. I think if you've got it, I think based on what's on the street right now from a knowledge perspective, I think we have heard from those that are probably in a jam, that had intended to get in and whatever, but and even from a law-oriented perspective, whether we use October 28th or December 31st, I think we need, or leave it where it is, which I quite frankly don't want to do because I think there's a couple of individuals from what I've heard through the grapevine really genuinely intended to get in as Virginia charter boat operators and are being shut out by it. I don't think the spirit of the adoption of the control date had that intent. What it intended to do was to keep everybody that had not contemplated from jumping in. So without rambling.
Make it as of today's date.
Well,
Mr. Fox?
May I suggest that maybe we add five more and let the staff approve people on a case.
I don't think you can do that. I don't think you can. I don't think that. I understand the idea, but I don't think that that's appropriate to push that down to staff level. And number two, quite honestly, it would be an arbitrary. No, I don't like that at all.
All right.
I think a control date. Yeah. I think an amendment to the control date.
Jack, yes, something.
Yeah, please.
Because we're just sending this out to public hearing.
Right.
The commission generally always adds a statement to the public hearing notices that the commission will consider variations in the criteria.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would allow you, after you hear all the public...
Well, that was my point. I didn't want to adopt it today, but use today or...
And change the control date, add another criteria that opens it up a little more. I mean, you should have all of that, all those tools available to you.
But next month, we could still use today as a control date for the criteria.
Could change the control date if you wanted. I'm not sure I would recommend.
You have to advertise today's date.
Wouldn't you want to advertise it?
No.
Because we have a control date already. This is for an extra criteria.
Wait a minute. One of
if you change the control date, you're also lessening the restrictions, so you really don't have to advertise unless you're tightening the restrictions.
Right.
That's correct.
So it's probably not a good thing to advertise that you want to change the control date, because then you'll have everybody and their brother running out. Of course, it's too late today.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
If you put a limiting date on it, like today's date, that would be it. I mean, people couldn't be opportunistic after today
right.
and start doing it.
Right.
Okay. Well.
Yeah, gentlemen, this is not a public hearing, but this is a situation. We'll let you. What issue did you want to bring up?
I can assure you that when it goes to public hearing, that you will hear quite a few more cases of people being Virginia residents being excluded who are not aware of the situation at this moment in time today.
Really?
Okay,
so with that, so the best thing to Bob?
I just remember what I said earlier, Sonia, did the research this morning, found that perhaps a dozen people have actually bought a new charter license since the 24th of October. So it's not a whole lot of people talking about it. I kind of think that all the excluded people.
Well, I don't think we did. That wasn't really the spirit of it, as I was saying. Yes, sir.
The only thing I have.
Can you come forward? The voice is a little bit low. I want to get on the recording. Can you state your name for the record, please?
My name is John Crowley.
Hi, Mr. Crowley.
And I'm representing the only three marinas in Rudy Inlet.
Okay.
And the problem we have is I've heard statistics, and, you know, you can switch those around however you want to. The man from Maryland says there are 57 boats. You know, our count in Rudy Inlet, because everybody's already pre-booked at Rudy Inlet, there's 19 boats, Maryland boats. That's in Rudy. That's in Rudy Inlet, and we're talking about the ocean fishing, because I think that's the biggest striped bass fishery. Another problem that we would suffer is that we have three head boats, and those head boats have license of some sort. So the owner of those head boats decides to retire, and he sells his head boats to a man in New York. And then someone from Ocean City tries to come back to us and say, we'd like to bring headboats in. He could never do that. That's a huge portion of our income.
Where are those boats documented? The headboats. Where are they documented?
Our boats right now documented in Virginia Beach.
Okay.
But let's say he left Virginia Beach.
Uh-huh.
And sold the boats.
Okay.
Sold the business to a man in New York,
okay.
Which happens frequently. But a group from Ocean City would like to buy headboats and come down and operate new headboats. Or we would like to operate headboats ourselves.
Or operate the headboats that are documented in Virginia, the same ones.
No, let's say we had to buy new headboats
because
they left Virginia. We would not have that option of putting headboats back into the marina again. You know? And we talk about it, they were talking about harvest. And Bob, your own person's admission, 88 to 90% of the harvest is taken by private boats anyway. So it's like we're splitting hairs to eliminate people from coming from Virginia. You know, Virginia is a right to work state. You know, we're trying to you know what I'm saying. But
I do and I don't. We're not trying to eliminate anything. We're trying to get Maryland to allow those good Virginians. That's all we're trying to do, and we have been trying to do that, and now we're at this juncture where we're left with no other recourse other than to take measures to basically make what's good for the goose and good for the gander.
Unfortunately, it eliminates the Carolina boats, too. You know, it would eliminate, in other words, you're trying to penalize Maryland, but you would penalize Carolina boats coming up here, too, or anybody, you know, that needs a new license. The only thing we would like, and I understand that you're probably going to do a public hearing, we would like to have more time, because the people that we have spoken with now, which would be the Convention Bureau in Virginia Beach, the Hotel Motel Association, the Restaurant Association, they're very interested in this, because the December, January, February fishery is a huge source of income for the city of Virginia Beach.
Well, this is what I'd like to do.
Would you like to extend it, give us some time?
I can understand that, but at the same time, what I would like to do in order to maintain or keep the dialogue active. If we continue it, we can always continue it at the November's meeting date, continue the public hearing, but I'm ready to get on with this program so that our citizens in Virginia can get equal access in Maryland, and I think by delaying it, it may put us in a position where we delay affording them that opportunity. I think by moving with it, it may, all we want is to come to the table and bargain in good faith, and nothing would tickle me any more than a reciprocal agreement. And you mentioned North Carolina. There are people in this room that have witnessed me in the elevator talk to the director of Marine Fisheries, North Carolina, begging for a recreational reciprocal agreement, and was flat told, no, it's not going to happen, don't bother me with it. So I've done the best I can to try to work it out.
And I'm not disagreeing with any of that. We just need it more than 30 days to put together our group. The meetings of this, the meetings that they've had, I mean, you know, we're, I guess, an average-sized marina, and Fisherman's Wharf's a big marina, and Rudy's. We've never been notified of any meeting. Last Friday was the first we've heard about this.
Okay.
So it's, you know, it's a lot at stake for us.
Understand. Thank you so very much.
We also have a letter from Vicki Stone and Whit Sessions asking that the public hearing be delayed until September.
But I have another letter from, in addition, from the same people that would like further than May as far as February.
Members of the Commission, I feel very strongly the public hearing for strategic purposes needs to be held in November. I think the time is now. We have worked on this now for over a year, and if dialogue starts to work in the interim, we can, if it looks like things are going to work out. But I want to involve the Virginia Charter Boat Association with this as well. I mean, they have worked long and hard and tried to come to concessions. They've worked with us and everything else, and I just think that...
Sir?
Yes?
The Virginia Charter Boat Association is 126 members strong.
Yes, sir.
Yesterday, I purchased fishing license number 447 in the state of Virginia.
Okay.
So you're working with a consolidated special interest group that represents roughly one-fourth of the industry.
Okay.
And it has not been publicized throughout the rest of the industry. I don't know if notification was ever sent to anyone who had purchased charter boat fishing licenses in those days and those years prior or not. But I do think, as it has been acknowledged, that bookings are down, trips are down considerably. Is there a reason to hastily push forward other than to pressure Maryland?
Do you want to delay?
I would like to see full on dismissal of this altogether. You just drop the issue and keep it like it is. But
who's representing the Charter Boat Association here today? Come forward, sir. I've had some dialogue with others, my superiors, and
my name is Percy Blackburn. I represent the Charter Boat Association.
What's the position of Virginia Charter Boat Association as far as a public hearing to get this thing moving? What?
Your next meeting or before?
Thank you very much. Matters before the commission. Mr. Tankard?
I move to accept staff recommendation for advertising these proposals for public comment November meeting.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Fox. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. What else do you have before the commission's travels, Ted?
Does that include the discussion we had about the additions that should be advertised?
Yeah. Absolutely. Take care of all in one fell swoop. What else do we have come before the commission? Mr. Bannister, did you have any comment on anything? Good seeing you, sir. Meeting adjourned.